are legitimate prospects that bring some of the ingredients we're looking for. If we're picking one, it'd be different, but we think in the first round, we think there's a good supply of players.
You've been trying to move up, no success, I guess, so far, but do you think you'll be able to do anything?
I think it'll be difficult to move up from the indications I've gotten. I've talked to a number of teams now, and they haven't even given me a price to move up. So, as I've been told by a couple of managers, it's hard to move back to 17 from where we are. So maybe on the day of the draft, somebody will come and say, if you give me X player, I would consider it. But I haven't been given that option so far.
You were hoping to have some answer on Daniel Alfredsson before this weekend. I guess it seems that's not going to happen.
Well, we'll have an answer before the weekend, I believe. I've had a real good meeting with Daniel before he left to go back to Sweden. He gave me sort of a time frame, and hopefully before the draft, I will have a chance to, at least understand what he's thinking. And whether we make the final decision or he does at that time, but I'll have a good indication.
Any ideas?
Yeah, I have a feeling that I have a feeling he wants to play. That was certainly something that he wanted to look at again further. Whether that will be the final answer or not, I don't know at this point. But he felt good when he talked to me. He said he felt healthy. He hadn't worked out much. He wanted to do that starting this week, and I think that's all he was kind of waiting for, to feel good about another summer of working hard and getting ready for a hockey season. But as I said, he didn't want to give me an answer until he had gone through that, at least started that process.
At this point, is curious about his age and passion or the will to play, the biggest thing he still had is maybe we should think about.
I think Alfie always has that. He's a real understanding what it takes to be ready to play, what he can bring to the table for the team, how we can contribute in other ways. I talked about intangibles with him. I mean, the leadership, the day-to-day conversation and the compete level in practice with the young players, and just all of that to me is important, and he can bring that, I believe, but I think he agrees with that. It's just a matter for him. It's more than that. He doesn't want to be a player that is just hanging on. He wants to be a player that can contribute, and I agree with that. That we, for his sake and for people that watch him play, he wants to be able to give it at a good level, and then based on if he feels he can do that, then he'll I believe continue to play.
Is there anything else?
Oh, no, he's the opposite of that to me this year. I thought he was a good player for our hockey team in a year that was kind of difficult in a lot of ways, and from the injury point of view in particular, and new guys coming into the lineup on a regular basis, and I thought Alfie was a real contributor.
Is there anything else you can do to try to convince him to stay?
I'm not going to do that. I think that if you get into a debate about playing or not playing, I don't think that helps the process at all. I think it's simply up to him to make a decision that he can contribute and he feels good about it and that he's able to do it. And if that's the case, then I'd want him to play. But I'm certainly going to wait for him to make the decision. I'm not going to pursue it until I get the call.
I just meant build up other players and the idea that you're going to have maybe certain free agents or types of free agents to add.
Well, I don't know that we, when you get into free agency, guys have to make the decision based on a lot of reasons to come to a city to play. Part of it's financial, obviously, but they want to come to a team that has a chance to win in that, too. So if we have Alfie, we know that he's better than most free agents we could get.
Do you feel that you need to add to your team currently either through a trade at the draft or a free agency over the next week or 10 days? Or can you just let this team continue to grow?
Well, I think we can let it continue to grow. I don't think there's any question. We've got a core group here now that are good. We've got some young players that are really coming forward. And unless something strange happens, a number of them are going to get better. that just through the natural process of playing in the league and understanding what it takes to play in the league, having a summer to work real hard and get stronger and all the rest of it. But I'd like to be able to add a piece to our team to take a bigger step if we could do that. We know it's difficult, but we're going to try.
Do you get the sense that a lot of guys, Brian, are going to become available in the next few days, just now that the final's over and teams can start thinking of next year?
I don't think a lot, but there will be some. There's no question. There's always a few players that are available that you can go talk about. You just have to make sure if you do that, at least I feel you have to. We're not at the stage where we were a few years ago where we just went and got a couple of veterans because we had to get a couple of veterans. I think we're at a stage where we have to be somewhat selective. And I'm going to try to be that way with our staff.
Selective in that, that 26, 27-year-old guy whose best years are ahead of him?
That can come in and play and contribute. Not just fill a spot, not just be there because he's a veteran hockey player, been around. A guy that can come in and play in a definite role on this hockey team and contribute in that role.
What kind of player are you looking for to complement the success you've had with your rookies?
Well, there's no particular type at the moment that I'm going to divulge. I think that would be playing in the hands of an agent that maybe I'm trying to talk to a little bit right now.
Good for Brian. Thank you very much.
Plan things that you need to fill in, areas that you're looking at?
No, I don't think we are. I think what will happen is the later the draft goes, Pierre will lean on area guys a little more. I think it's harder to have a consensus in the sixth round. I think you're looking at guys that two guys have seen and maybe four guys haven't seen type of thing. So I think that's where your area guys become extremely important. You know, we talk about Stone a lot. Did Pierre see Stone? Absolutely. Bobby Lowe's knew Stone very well. And so you lean on your area guys later in the draft, and that's why we have them. We have them, they have a voice. So I would say your first two or three picks are consensus picks, for sure. And I think after that, it's your area guy with your head guy making a decision that that's the right guy.
Good.
Thank you, Tim.
Yep.
Thanks, Tim. But picking 17, I think as a group we've done a good job here, you know, with picks in the teens and, you know, taking CC last year at 15 and Carlson in the previous year at 15 also. So I think we're looking forward to this draft, and I think it's a good draft. And as Tim mentioned before, I think some people overrate the draft because the draft has now become a bigger and bigger deal. But I still think that we're going to get players for the centers in the future.
Do you guys have a specific need that you think you're going to look for at around that number? Or
no, I think it's boring to answer, but it's always best player available. And that's what we've done in the past, and we haven't really focused on a position. I think the year that we ended up with the three first round picks, we made a key that we wanted to draft forwards, and we took, you know, Zibanejad, Neuson and Pumpel. We all feel that all three are going to be good NHL players in due time. But this year, you know, last year, it was when we got to 15, it was CC or another player, and the other player was the forward. So it doesn't really matter what we try and look for in specifics. It's just pretty much the best player available.
When you're drafting at 17, would you have kind of a handle on maybe five or six players that you'd probably be taking from, and would you even go as far as talking to some of them?
Yes, for sure. I think that's a great question. I think, you know, in the past, you know, last year we talked about having CC in our top five on our list, so we're ecstatic when we came to him. But I think if you look at our list, if you go probably from 11, 12 to 16, is probably the range that we're going to pick. And we've done our homework. We've had we had four guys in here in Ottawa a few weeks ago, and we took them out to supper, and we had them on the ice skating. You know, just a visual for Brian and Tim. You know, even though Tim had seen these four guys, and from there we have a feeling that it could be one of those four. It could be someone maybe above on our list, or you never know if we move back again to someone later.
What are some of the things that might differentiate a player from someone else, just especially in that level? It seems they're quite similar, but what are some of the things that would maybe make a difference for you guys?
I think at that point in time, you're obviously looking for a good player. most of the time at 17, the player won't play for you right away. But I think you're looking at someone in the short term that can still do something, like maybe not at 19 years old, but maybe at 21. Compare that, if you're picking earlier, you're looking for someone to play for you as quickly as possible. Like Zibanejad played for us at 19 this year, compared to if you're picking later in the draft, well, you just hope that the guy can play sub skates.
Here, obviously, teams talk to each other, but when you see a team like Colorado, say, for example, that if the draft was today, they'd be taking McKinnon, how does that affect the actual draft day?
I don't think it really affects much. I think, you know, it's not going to affect who we're going to take at 17, what they're doing at 1. So for us, we're just looking at, you know, what they do is fine, and, you know, they're going to get a chance to take whether it is one of three or one of four great players. You know, it's going to be great for their organization.
Do you even rank those guys on your list, and just in case, you know, there's one year that Fowler went all the way down? And
no, we rank everyone. Like, we had, I think I'm at liberty to say, we had, for the guys that see everyone, we had three different guys number one. And it was pretty intense. And Brian sometimes kids me, goes, I think I can get the number one pick. So, and I say, oh. But it would be a very healthy discussion. I don't think that's going to happen. You guys know that. But we had very healthy discussions. Brian and Tim from day one have said, prepare for every scenario. Okay. So we prepare for every scenario.
So you're like 1 to 50 or something on your own master list?
No, we do. This year it's 1 to 150, I think.
Okay.
And sometimes there's healthy discussions between 78 and 79. Because maybe that's our third round pick, or maybe that's our fourth round pick. And we have to be prepared for that scenario. We meet for a long week. And we go through every process. And we go, like, well, obviously this year we went through our first 17 and we talked about our first 17 on our list. And with everyone in the scouting staff, and I really want to emphasize, everyone that gets a chance to see everyone on our scouting staff has a big word to say. You know, we have a great scouting staff here. And it's just not me or Tim or Brian. It's the guys that do a lot of the work. And we discuss every scenario from 1 to 17. Like, is everyone in this room happy, whoever we take from the first 17 on our list?
Pierre, I don't know if you're asking, because I was getting good stuff. Did you bring any guys in?
Yeah, we talked about it. We brought it.